You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Should state lawmakers be required to file a financial disclosure statement, something that would let constituents know if there are potential problems, conflicts of interest? 47 states say yes, and they have some law on the books requiring legislators to file some sort of financial disclosure statement. The three exceptions: Vermont, Idaho, and Michigan. A Detroit News story tells us that even with a nod from Lieutenant Governor Kelly and House Speaker Tom Leonard, a package of bills that would require state lawmakers to disclose personal financial information is stalled in a House committee. Craig Mauger of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network is here with us. Craig, we're talking about this package introduced a couple of months ago by Senate and House Democrats. What's in it?
It's kind of a wide-ranging package, but the main proposal that people are kind of focused on is this idea of whether state lawmakers should have to file some type of disclosure about their outside income. So this is money they're making or groups that they're affiliated with outside of their work in the state legislature. So that could be, you know, rental housing that they sell or make money off of on the side. It could be a side business that they have. And some lawmakers maintain their full-time business while serving in the legislature as well. So it could be a small amount of money or it could be a very large amount of money.
So why is this so critical? Could you give us some real-life examples of why this matters?
Yeah, well, why it matters is that in order to have a democracy that is functioning, voters need at least a minimum level of information about who they're voting on. You know, state legislators who talk about this will say, you know, if my voters don't like what I'm doing, they will vote me out. And that's often their defense on this subject, which is a fair defense. But this whole thing is about giving people the information on which to make decisions. You know, as someone who was a journalist covering the Capitol day to day here, we often have no idea what these guys are doing on these side. These men and women, we have no idea what they're doing when they're not on the House floor or the Senate floor, who they're working for, who they're selling things to. And to not have that information, we don't have a full scope to really look at the decisions that they're making on behalf of their constituents, because they're here to work on behalf of their constituents. You know, just looking over these things, information that we have been able to gather over the last couple of years from, you know, various means, you know, we've had lawmakers who are married to lobbyists who are working on proposals that they're also working on in the legislature. MLive did a piece on a state lawmaker who was the chair of a committee, Ray Franz, and he was hearing testimony from someone who was working for a company from which he was also working on a land deal with. So there are all these different things that kind of intertwine here, and you don't know them often unless a journalist really takes time to look into them or unless it makes someone angry and that person decides to leak it. So there is this just huge mystery around all of these things, and it all happens in the dark. And at the same time, while that is happening, 47 other states have decided to require some form of disclosure so people have a minimum level of information about where people are making money.
And indeed, the federal government has pretty detailed financial disclosure requirements. If you want to run for Congress, what's required?
They have to give information about, you know, real estate they own, all of the outside income. They have to give information on their stock holdings. You know, the idea here is that these people are making decisions that affect these companies, that affect all of these things. And people should know from the get-go where their interests lie financially in these things. And a lot of our state lawmakers, when they file to run for Congress, that's the only time that we get real insight into where their financial interests were while they were serving in the state legislature.
And these financial disclosure bills were referred to the House Elections and Ethics Committee. How is it faring?
It sounds like, from what the Detroit News reported today, that the chair of the committee, Representative Aaron Miller, is not on board with these bills. So when a committee chair is not on board with these bills, often that will mean that those bills aren't going anywhere. And even if they did go somewhere in the House, the Senate is very opposed to these type of disclosure bills as well.
What about the argument that Representative Miller and other critics say, hey, these disclosures can get too personal or too private? Why should someone who wants to run for the legislature in the state have to disclose all their family's financial businesses?
You know, the counter argument to that would be that this is a duty that you have to your constituents. No one is forcing these people to run for the legislature. This is a choice that they're making, and they're making a salary from the public. And it's only fair to provide the public some information about the things that you're doing on the side. You know, we don't have a part-time legislature here. this is supposed to be these lawmakers' full-time jobs. And if they have other jobs on the side, it's only right to disclose that information about where that money is coming from to their constituents. Another reason that these are so important is something that we saw play out in Utah this year. The Salt Lake Tribune used personal financial disclosures to determine that one in every four bills sponsored in their legislature could be traced from the lawmaker sponsoring them to that lawmaker having some type of deep professional or personal interest in the bill. They were able to do this research, and you can look the story up, only because they had these personal financial disclosures. We have nothing like that here, and no way to do that type of analysis, and no way to figure this out.
So now what?
It's where we've been for a long time. We're one of three states that doesn't have this type of disclosure. And until, you know, the legislature is willing to do something about it, we will be one of the three states. And at the same time, we rank 50th out of all 50 states, as we've talked about previously, when it comes to systems for deterring corruption. And that's from the Center for Public Integrity. And this is one of the major reasons that we're 50th out of 50.
And for folks interested in learning more about money in Michigan politics, you've got an event happening later in this week. What's going on?
Yeah, definitely. So on Thursday night, our group, the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, and a couple of other groups based in Lansing are going to be having a forum on money in politics. It's an educational forum. We're going to have a panel discussion so people can learn more about these issues. We'll be talking about, you know, campaign finance. We'll be talking about lobbying and things like that. And we're just going to present information so people can get some insight on this. And it's going to be at Midtown Brewing Company at 7:30 Thursday. So it should be a really fun event as well.
You can get the details by going to the Michigan Campaign Finance Network website, mcfn.org. As always, Craig Mauger, thanks so much.
Thank you.